Good morning. We'll begin the December 5th meeting of Sussex County Council with the Lord's Prayer followed by the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Our Father,
Lord of heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Approval of the agenda.
We do have one item to delete, and that is the grant number 7, Delaware Agriculture Museum and Village.
Okay. Anything else? If not, entertain a motion. Gentlemen, entertain a motion.
So
moved. Motion by Mr. Phillips, second by Mr. Jones to approve the agenda for Sussex County Council for December 5th, 2006, as in printed form with the deletion of grant request item number 7 to delete it. Questions, Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
I voted yes. Approval of minutes from October the 24th. October the 24th, as in printed form.
Make a motion to approve the minutes, October the 24th.
Second.
Presented.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Dukes, second by Mr. Phillips to approve the minutes from October 24th as in printed form. Questions? Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
I voted yes. Approval of minutes for October the 31st. October 31st.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Dukes, second by Mr. Phillips to approve the minutes for October 31st for Sussex County Council as in printed form.
On the roll.
Question, Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
I voted yes. Reading correspondence, Mr. Griffin.
We have one item, a letter from the Boys and Girls Clubs of Delaware thanking council for a donation for the Western Sussex Boys and Girls Club.
I'll tell you he ordered it.
Okay.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay. With that, we'll move to David Baker, University of Delaware Cooperative Extensions Grant.
Yes, good morning. This morning we have with us Mr. Mark Isaacs, who is Director of the University of Delaware Department of Agriculture, Carville Research and Education Center. And as in the past, the county has supported the University of Delaware Ag Program in Sussex County, and we're pleased to continue this tradition. The council has budgeted $118,097 for an annual grant for the program. And the council also approved $15,000 for a partial support for a safety agent position at the university in Sussex County. And so I'd like to introduce Mr. Isaacs here today. I think he is going to say a few words about his programs.
Morning, daughter.
Ladies. I want to take this opportunity to thank the council, as always, for the continued support that you provide the University of Delaware College of Agriculture and Natural Resources. Each year, when I stand in front of you, I remind you of the contributions that your funding makes to the clientele of this county. And I just want to reiterate that, especially this year, with the new Carville facility that we've got out there. We've expanded some of our extension programming opportunities. We've also expanded our educational opportunities in using the interactive video conferencing facility. The money that you provide us supports our cooperative extension programming initiatives, allows us to do some crops research that oftentimes there's no money available for local, some small research projects that are very pertinent to our farming community. Provides us an opportunity to do some small-scale poultry research, again, that your funding allows us to do something that we can't really do without the local support. And then the contribution that you provide also enhances our educational opportunities for the county with the ITV, the Interactive Video Conferencing Facility, which many of us out there are actually teaching classes for students here at Deltec and through the parallel program as well. The addition that you did this year for the safety position, just want to give you a quick update on that, how that has developed. I think many of you remember Ron Jester, our extension safety specialist. Well, he's joined the ranks of retirement in June. And Ron's position was solely funded off of grants. And those of you that are familiar with grants know that they're very specific and oftentimes very tailored to specific needs. One of the challenges that we had faced when Ron was with us was the opportunity to do things specifically that this county needed for the clientele. A lot of times with grants, you're cut and paste and you've got to do everything pretty much the grant spells out. The support that you're providing is going to allow Mr. Mike Love to do some things, which he's been doing a little bit here recently, but it's going to allow him to expand programs that are very specific, in particular related to traffic safety and just farm and home safety as well, issues that deals with county residents. So I want to take this opportunity to thank you all very much for that, for your continued support. And as always, please feel free to let us know if there's some voids in any programming initiatives that we need to do and where we need to move forward. With that, I'll be happy to entertain any questions that any of the council members may have.
Good to go.
Any questions? Okay. We're going to miss Ron. He used to do an excellent farm accident rescue program that we miss it already.
Yeah, he's going to stay employed on this agribility grant, which is like part-time, but it's going to be probably 40%. But it's a grant. Again, it's a specific grant, so he's kind of got to follow some guidelines on that.
Not a problem. Do we need a motion? You got a motion?
No?
Okay, got it.
You got that when we said yes in June.
Thanks, Mark.
Administrator's report.
Okay. First item is a report on the Caroline on the Circle food drive, which we are in the process of holding now for the needy in Sussex County, and we've collected approximately 27,000 food items to be distributed to 11 food pantries in the county. We'd like to thank everyone that has contributed towards the program to benefit the needy. Food will continue to be collected until Christmas. Please contact Mr. Ray Webb at 855-7840 for information regarding pickup and distribution of food. And we believe that this is probably the most successful food drive we've had to date in the 23 years that we've been involved with this. Beneficial acceptance. The County Engineering Department granted beneficial acceptance on November 29th. To Heritage Village Phase 1 and 2, Agreement Number 602. The developer is Thompson Heritage LLC, and the project is located on Route 1 and Postal Lane, Westerhoveth Expansion and Dewey Beach Sewer District, consisting of 147 condominium units, and included with a report is a fact sheet on the project. The next item is Stanley Klein. We regret to announce that Mr. Stanley Klein, a county employee, passed away on November 30, 2006. Mr. Klein worked as a part-time security guard for the county council since May 1994. He worked in this building as well as at the West Complex and the industrial park as needed. And then one informational item, pumpkin chunking. November 29th and 30th, Mr. Frank Shade, president of the Pumpkin Chunkin Association, as well as the county purchasing agent, was in New York City for a taping of the Montel Williams Show. He expects this show to be aired in the near future regarding pumpkin chunking. Right. We've heard quite a bit about that since he got back.
Yeah. Pumpkin chunking.
Is that it?
Yes.
With that, we'll move to old business. Mr. Lank, Director of Zoning. First item will be change of zone number 1602. That of Triple D, Double J, LLC.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Mr. Lang.
Morning.
believe y'all have a copy of my report to the old business on this application.
Yes.
It's also in the norm, if you're favorable towards this application, that you want findings and conditions that are for consideration in the positive. So I prepared some. I'll pass it out before I start mine. This application is change of zone number 1602. The application of Triple D Double J LLC to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a GR RPC, general residential district residential planned community, for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, for land lying east of Road 365, northeast of Road 367A, and across from Road 367B, and to be located on 71.77 acres, more or less. The Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application back in September 28th of 2006. On September 28th, the commission deferred action for further consideration. On October 18th of 2006, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend denial of change of zone 1602 to Triple D Double J LLC based on the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, he does not believe that this application is consistent with the surrounding area. Large lots, single family homes, active poultry operations, and a swine farm are the closest neighbors to the site. The purpose of the existing AR1 zoning is to provide for low-density single-family homes. This proposed use would be out of character with the adjacent and surrounding properties. Three, although the application has stated that GR zoning is in the area, none are adjacent. The closest GR zoning supports a mobile home park developed in the 1970s. Four, the size and scale of the project and the multifamily aspect is inconsistent with the character, zoning, and uses of the surrounding properties. Five, the change in zoning and the proposed project are not infill. Six, the application does not promote the health, safety, convenience, and general welfare of the neighborhood or community. And seven, although the RPC designation allows for density and ingenuity, he does not feel that it has been achieved. For example, the proposed site plan places the highest density adjacent to farmland and the larger single-family lots on adjacent properties. Motion and second and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be denied for those reasons stated, and that motion carried 5-0.
Gentlemen, you got a question, Mr. Lang?
You don't have a picture of it, do you, by any chance?
Got a book.
I don't have a book in front of me. No, I mean, I know what it looks like. I'm just wondering if Lawrence has got.
This is the cover sheet for.
I mean, just, yeah, I just, no, I just think it ought to be passed down to refresh your memory how attractive it is.
Since the council normally gives recommendation or motions to approve in the positive sense, and then you vote the way you feel. There were no findings in the file, so I had to prepare some in the positive. And these are only proposed, and it's up to the council to decide if they're appropriate for your vote. So I would state that the proposed GRRPC project meets the purpose of the zoning ordinance and that it promotes the orderly growth of the county. Two, that GR zoning is appropriate for this site since other GR zoning is in close proximity. Three, GR zoning is appropriate for this site because central water and public sewer will be provided. In this case, public sewer can be made available to the site once annexed into the North Millville expansion of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. And according to the County Engineering Department, wastewater capacity is available. And that central water will be provided by artesian water. for the RPC designation is appropriate for this parcel of land, and that the purpose of an RPC is to encourage large-scale development as a means to create superior living environments and the use of design ingenuity while protecting existing and future uses. The proposed project is also in the environmentally sensitive developing district. Five, the subject project is in an area that has developed with a mixture of residential projects in the immediate area. Six, the applicant has proposed to create a homeowners association to enforce deed restrictions and maintenance upon completion of the proposed project. With restrictions placed upon the project, this project should not adversely affect neighboring or adjacent properties. Seven, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. Again, these are suggested. A, the maximum number of units shall not exceed 265, of which no more than 154 duplex units shall be permitted. That is the number of duplex units proposed within that project. There were 111 single family lots. B, all entrance, intersection, roadway, and multimodal improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicant in accordance with DLDOT's requirements or in accordance with any future or further modification required by DLDOT. C, no wetlands shall be included within any lot lines. D, recreational amenities and facilities shall be constructed and open to use by the residents of the development within 2 years of the issuance of the first building permit. These recreational facilities shall include the clubhouse and swimming pool. E, a protected school bus shelter shall be provided near the entrance to the development. The location of the protected school bus shelter and related parking shall be subject to the approval of the school district's transportation supervisor and shall be subject to site plan review by the Planning and Zoning Commission. F, a 60-foot wide buffer shall be provided along all property lines and shall include a 30-foot wide minimum landscape buffer. A landscape plan shall be submitted to the Planning and Zoning Commission when the site plan is reviewed. G, the development shall be served as part of an extended county sanitary sewer district and shall be constructed in accordance with county engineering specifications and regulations. H, the development shall be served by a public central water system providing adequate drinking water and fire protection as required by applicable regulations. I, stormwater management facilities and erosion and sediment control shall be constructed in accordance with applicable state and county regulations. J, the applicants, its successors and or assigns, including a homeowners or condominium association that will be formed, shall operate the stormwater management facilities in a manner that is consistent with best management practices, also referred to as BMPs. K, the applicant shall cause to be formed a homeowners association or condominium association to be responsible for the maintenance of the streets, roads, buffers, open spaces, stormwater management facilities, and other common areas. L, the interior street design shall be in accordance with or exceed Sussex County street design requirements and or specifications. Street design shall include sidewalks on both sides of the street and street lighting. M, construction, site work, grading, and delivery of materials, construction materials, landscape materials, and fill on offer to the property shall only occur from Monday through Saturday and only between the hours of 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. N, road naming and addressing shall be subject to the approval of the county mapping and addressing department. O, wetlands shall be maintained as non-disturbance areas as offered by the applicant during public hearing. A 50-foot setback shall be provided from all wetlands. B, deed restrictions and or covenants and condominium documents shall reference the agricultural activities exist in close proximity to the site, and the agricultural protection notice shall be included in the restrictions, covenants, and documents. And Q, the preliminary site plan and the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. And that's all I have, gentlemen. I do note that they are only suggested findings
and
conditions.
We'll serve that right into the record. Any further questions of Mr. Lang?
No.
Anyone have comments? Mr. Griffin, read the title.
Lawrence, before we do that, this in essence is raising the density above its current base density, correct? Right now, the zoning is AR1.
The zoning is AR1. The proposed is GRRPC.
Okay.
AR1 would typically give you two units per acre. This project proposed is 3.69.
Okay. GR actually has 4 units per acre afforded it, correct?
GRMR, all of them.
GR and MR, yeah, they're single-family residential districts that allow for 4 units per acre, basically.
Okay.
They allow lots of 10,000 square foot.
And manufactured housing, that's what.
Well, in either,
and manufactured housing.
In either case, there's roughly 1.5 or 1.6 units more per acre than the current zoning affords it, correct?
Right.
Okay. I guess my interest is seeing that the developer actually pay for that extra density. We have discussed in the past through the density trade ordinance the opportunity for increasing density above the zoning at a fee that would then, in that case, go into a conservation fund. I mean, in this case, if we could place a fee on that additional density, that money could go into a conservation fund or a fund to help the schools or possibly roads or other infrastructure needs. And I guess the question that I'd like to ask, is there any way that we could do that today? I don't know if it's a question for Lawrence or for the attorney.
Yeah, I think we're on board.
Well, doesn't seem to fit within the parameters of the density trade ordinance. It seems to me you'd need a separate ordinance if you wanted to apply that across the board. I'd probably have some difficulty saying you could apply it to this application if you approve this application.
I mean, I don't have a problem with this application. I've made it clear that I support higher density. We're going to have X amount of growth, and I think it's a more efficient use of our limited land in this county to have higher densities. What I don't necessarily support, and it's an issue that I've maybe brought up in the past but not in a formal setting, is the idea that that additional density and the value that goes with that density is simply put into the pockets of the developer and the landowner rather than at least a portion of that going to the public good.
You're pulling this out again at the last minute, and I don't know if you're just trying to set an atmosphere that you're worried about, you know, the future here in the coastal area of Sussex County, but how would we determine the cost of that extra density? Are we just going to sit here and just throw some numbers out and shoot from the hip? I mean, there's got to be a better way to address this if you're sincere about doing something like this, which, again, I don't think buying and selling density is something the county ought to be in. We ought to be looking at the neighborhood and the character and the impacts and everything else. But, I mean, how could we possibly come up with a figure today, a number?
We currently have the density trade ordinance on the books that establishes $20,000 per unit in this particular area.
It's been I'm not real crazy about that ordinance, but
we haven't had an application yet.
Right.
Mr. Grabbin, you said
I don't know. I don't understand it, but I'm just saying I don't know how we can put a price on it.
Mr. Grabbin.
Just odd.
With the application before us, this can't be levied because it's not part of the ordinance, correct?
Well, it wasn't an application under that ordinance.
Right, it's not clustered.
I think you'd need a separate ordinance.
I mean, does an application, my understanding of that ordinance is now that an application has to be made with that in mind, if they want to buy density?
Well, I mean.
Or do we just, I mean, I don't.
I don't think this fits within the parameters of that ordinance. So I don't think you could apply it today. I think that's a
separate ordinance.
Separate ordinance that would have to be introduced and for to use the money for some of the purposes that were mentioned by Mr. Phillips. We might also, if you wanted to use the money for schools, we probably would have to get some enabling legislation from the state legislature. So there are a few steps that would have to be taken. But
we can debate.
I don't think that this ordinance today fits within what you adopted for the density trade.
Okay.
All right. So this wouldn't apply, and if, you know, I think you can't have a grab bag of what it would go for. If you ever go for it, it needs to be specified instead of just schools and roads and whatever. Okay. With that, any other questions? If not, read the title.
But then the fact that we can work on it with a new land use plan and
yeah, that's not for today though.
Situation. Then.
Correct. Tell your land use coordinator, consultant, when you see him. Read the title, Mr. Griffin.
This is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a GR RPC general residential district residential plan community for a certain parcel of land in Baltimore 100 Sussex County containing 71.77 acres.
I make a motion we approve CZ-1602 with the conditions as stated.
Second. Motion by Mr. Jones, second by Mr. Dukes to approve change of zoning number 1602 triple D double J / LLC with the conditions and findings of facts that were written into the record by Mr. Lang.
You mean the ones for a positive vote?
For a positive vote.
Not the
If you base your decision on a record of recommendation of P&Z, that's on the record, but Mr. Lang did read into the record today, suggested facts of finding. So state your reasons for voting, gentlemen, as you vote. Any questions? Call for the vote, Mr. Cole.
All right, my reading of the public hearing we had and the minutes from P&Z, I've got some notes here, and then I'll comment on P&Z's positions in response to Mr. Lank's findings for an approval. So let me just say, but when it came to the sewer service, because there's intervening parcels between this parcel and the closest county sewer district, the county does not plan, this is from the engineering department, now the county does not plan to extend service because it's not contiguous. I also felt that as I drive around the roads out in this area and look at the area and get a feel of what the area and the characteristics of the area are, I felt that 4 units to the acre is excessive. And part of that is, and I think the state of Delaware and their comments are that it's located in a level 4 area, which means they're not going to be participating too much when it comes to infrastructure improvements. So that means it is a rural area. And so that the 4 units of the acre is justified, or my concern about the 4 units of the acre being excessive is reinforced with that state of Delaware's comment. It is zoned right now single family. And again, that's basically the character of the area when you ride out there. Duplexes are out of character. I agree with the reasons that P&Z has given for denial. I also felt that it was poorly designed. It's not creative. It's not a superior design. It's not superior to an AR cluster housing, single-family housing development, which would also be questionable if it was even in character. But that would be more in character than what we're looking at here today, because the site plan that was sent down the table here, if you looked at it, it's just anything but a creative, superior creative living environment. From some of these other projects we've seen, it's actually probably one of the worst designs I've seen in a long time. So when I look at the planning and zoning's comments, and then I looked at Mr. Lank, who also is the director of planning and zoning, I see there's a problem with Mr. Lank's. I'm sure he grappled with trying to put this into a positive light, because we have, keep in mind, a unanimous decision. It seemed that there was no disagreement with denying this project. But the first one that Mr. Lang pointed out for a positive, from his positive conditions, which is what's part of the motion here, the proposed GR meets the purpose of the zoning ordinance and it promotes the orderly growth. Well, planning and zoning unanimously thought that it did not. They have down here that the application does not promote the health, safety, and convenience and general welfare. That's number 6. From the positive part of the conditions, it says GR zoning is appropriate for the site, and P&Z felt that it wasn't appropriate, that there isn't any close GR zoning other than a mobile home park that was developed in the 1970s. So since there's never been, since the 1970s, any other GR development in the area, I would think that the old mobile home park is what's out of character, and that the single family low density is what is the character. The engineering department was concerned about the third one, which is about the extension of the sewer district and all that stuff. Basically, the The engineering department has taken a position that it's not going to be serviced, it's not contiguous, and there's other parcels in between, and it's just, it's very awkward, and it's not good planned growth. The number four from the positive conditions, the designation creates a superior living environment. I think if you look to number two of planning and zoning, they said the purpose of the existing AR zoning is to provide for low-density single-family homes. This purpose, proposed use, would be out of character with the adjacent surrounding properties. And if you also looked at number five, they said the change of zoning and the proposed project are not infill. And then number seven actually reflects that the although the RPC designation allows for density, I do not feel that that has been achieved. For example, the proposed site plans for the highest densities adjacent to the farmland and the lower single-family homes against other properties. So they didn't even like the RPC designation. Number five, the project is in an area that is developed with a mixture of residential housing. And again, number five says it's not infill. So then the other other final issue I'll talk about is there were some comments, I think, from the attorney about the project would have no impact on the Indian River School District. And I couldn't find anything in writing that said to justify that. So no response from the school district doesn't imply that there would be no impact. It's just that we didn't get any comments, and which is unfortunate that we don't get enough comments from some of these school districts. So with all those reasons, I support P&Z's and the public record that they've promoted here today, that unanimously that this project should be denied, and it should just be an AR1 cluster housing subdivision, and that would be more appropriate. So my vote is no.
Mr. Cole votes no. Mr. Phelps.
I've not tried to hide the fact that I support higher density. I think that we're going to have a certain amount of growth in this county, and for sustainable development and growth in this county, we need to start putting more units on less land. I think, though, that when that occurs, there is a tremendous transfer of equity from properties outside of growth zones into the pockets of developers and landowners that are within the growth zones. And in this case, we have a property in the growth zone. We have a property that has gone through the process, that is providing adequate buffers, that is meeting all the regulations set forth by the county, by the state, by the federal government to develop this property in an appropriate and environmentally sensitive way. What I do have a problem with is the fact that it is increasing the density above the existing zoning. In this case, 122 extra units are being declared. If you went by the zoning that they're attempting to achieve, which is the GR, if it was simply the zoning, that would actually be 4 units per acre or 143 extra units. We have a pledge on record that they're only going to increase the density by the 122 units, and in the case of our density trade ordinance, that would equate to almost $2.5 million. Now, it was brought to light, I think appropriately, by the attorney that attempting to put that fee on the applicant at this stage and in this method would be inappropriate. The developer may be charged with making a windfall profit here, but more than likely the developer is paid a substantial amount of money for that property because of its location. I think that in the future we should give serious consideration to charging landowners and developers who ask for increased density an appropriate fee that then can go into the infrastructure needs of this county. That aside, I think this application is appropriate. It meets all the tenets of our code, and I vote yes.
Mr. Phillips votes yes. Mr. Jones.
If you look at if you look at the report that we did, and Mr. Lang has read it all into the record prior to this, but our engineering department says that it is in the Beaver Dam, it is in the sewer district, a proposed sewer district, that there is 4 units to the acre allocated for that area. The density they're asking for is less than that. Certainly, with the stipulations in front of us read into the record of Mr. Lank, that they will have to hook into county sewer. So the property cannot be done, developed or until county shore is extended to that area. And if you look at the paperwork on the state planning did not give a negative rating to that. They said it's approximately 500 feet from a level three, that there is GR and MR zoning within the area. So, and if you go right through the book, DelDOT did not require impact study, and they were requiring them certain stipulations to do. With the stipulations raised in the record by Mr. Lank, I have to say my vote is yes.
Mr. Jones votes yes. Mr. Dukes.
Our plan, which has been approved and certified by the state, says we should encourage higher density closer to the town centers. I think this falls into that criteria. And with the positive that Mr. Lank read into the record of the seven stipulations, I think that meets our land use plan. My vote will be yes.
With the, I was kind of surprised with the public hearing that's held at P&Z and held here. That's one of the few that we have that nobody attended from the public at all, basically, them days. But however, this is classification presently as GR, which enables manufactured homes, which a lot of cases when you do infill such as this or in contiguity, people, even though it was a classification first, they sometimes don't want it there. But in this case, I was a little surprised when the findings came back from planning and zoning the way they did after hearing the presentation by the legal counsels for the applicant. However, with the facts of finding from read into the record by Mr. Lang, it meets our ordinance. I don't disagree with Mr. Phillips that in the future we need to look at possibly directing funding for one way for extra densities. And with that, my vote would be yes. Motion passes for change of zone number 1602. Next case.
I'm sorry, is that with all the conditions?
With the conditions read into the record by Mr. Lang, yes. That'd be classified as possible findings. The two-page documents.
I think there are 17 conditions.
17 conditions, yes, correct, Mr. Lang. Seven had quite a few subtitles there.
That's correct.
Yeah.
The next, if you're ready.
Yes, sir.
The next item is our business is subdivision number 2005-12. This was an appeal hearing held by council on September 19th of 2006. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on January 26th of 2006. This is an application of LaCrosse Homes of Delaware Incorporated to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County. They were dividing 175.07 acres into 350 lots under the cluster development concept. Located at the northeast corner of the intersection of Road 227 and Road 229B and being east of Road 229. I have copies of the information from the commission if council is in need of that from the appeal hearing. Does anyone need a copy of that? That's what was placed on the record at that time, back in September 19th. The attorney on behalf of the applicants had provided to council, I believe, and you already have in your possession, proposed findings, which also included proposed conditions of approval. You already have those in your possession. You already have those, so do they need to be read?
They're part of the record already, correct, Mr. Griffin?
I think they are.
Okay, they'll need to read them though.
Thank you. And as I stated earlier, without reading and to the record, because it's already part of the record from September 19th, the commission did recommend this application be denied. And there were reasons and further denial presented to council on September 19th.
Do you think it may be appropriate to read why the P&Z denied it? Because that's why we're here today, right?
Like, that's correct. Why we were here on September 19th.
Right, yep. And that's why we're here again today. So maybe we better read the reasons for denial as opposed to just looking at proposed conditions for approval.
Not a problem.
Yeah, I think it.
And Mr. Griffin, we were there that day as an appellate on appeal, right? Correct? It's not a, it wasn't a new public hearing before us, it was an appeal.
It was an appeal hearing.
Which makes us basically appellates to make sure they reach their decision, whether it was correct.
It was an appeal hearing, yes.
Okay. So gentlemen, it wasn't another public hearing, we were just hearing, making sure they reached their decision by their law. Go ahead.
On September 19th of 2006, council was advised in an appeal hearing that the commission had held public hearing on January 26th of 2006 and had rendered a decision on March 9th of 2006 that Mr. Burton, commission member, stated he would move that the commission deny subdivision 2005-12 for La Crosse Homes of Delaware Incorporated based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the proposed project as designed does not meet the purpose of the subdivision or zoning ordinance. It does not promote the orderly growth of the county, and the project is not in a development district established by the 2002 Sussex County Land Use Plan update. Two, the proposed project also does not meet the purpose of the subdivision ordinance because it does not ensure that residential development are conveniently and properly located. Three, the proposed project is not in accordance with the 2002 Sussex County Land Use Plan update as follows. A, it does not represent growth in an area where public infrastructure and services are available. B, the location of the proposed development is in an area where farmland preservation exists through agriculture preservation districts, and one of the goals of the plan update is to reduce pressure for development in agricultural areas and to promote the preservation of farmland. Four, the plus process does not transfer zoning authority from the county to the state, and the county makes the final decision on this application. The commission must still consider the comments from the plus process, which are part of the record. These comments include the following. A, because the project is outside of an area where the state and local governments have planned for growth, the state opposes the proposal. B, the state has no plans to invest in infrastructure upgrades or additional services such as schools, police, and transportation for the area. C, the Office of State Planning Coordination is opposed to the project and is generally concerned that the project is out of character with the surrounding area. D, the State Department of Agriculture has stated that the site is designated as both high-value cropland and forest land in accordance with the state's green infrastructure priorities map. Consequently, the state is recommending other alternative methods of development for the property. Five, the project is in an area that has not developed with similar projects or residential density. There are no other developments that are similar in density to what has been proposed. Six, the proposed project is served by Smith Road, Warren Farm Road, and Goose Road, which are all classified as local roads by the state. And the project is located on a dangerous curve on Hummingbird Road. All these roads are also used regularly by large farm equipment. Project would also lead to increased congestion on the adjacent and surrounding roads, and the state has no plans to invest in roadway upgrades in the area. Seven, for the reasons in motion, I am also, speaking on behalf of Mr. Burton, not satisfied that the proposed clustered subdivision is superior to the standard subdivision. Instead, it appears that the main goal of the developer is the maximization of the number of residential home lots. The developer is asking for approval of 350 lots, or exactly 2 units per acre, which is significantly more than the net density that would be achieved with a standard subdivision. Other reasons why Mr. Burton feels this is not a superior design are as follows. A, although the developer achieved the maximum number of lots, it is at the expense of approximately 20 acres of existing woodlands. B, the design does not preserve the natural environment. For instance, the design would fragment the existing forested lands, which the Department of Agriculture has stated can have an irreversible effect on the regional ecosystem. C, the design with the relocation or piping of the unnamed tributary draining to the Broadkill River and the clearing or removal of the forested areas adjacent to the stream does not preserve the natural environment. D, the majority of the lots back up to either county roads or other lots. It appears that the developer traded open space between lots for the maximum density possible. E, the developer has included a non-contiguous 6.45-acre parcel in its open space calculations to obtain the maximum possible density. This parcel is across Smith Road and is not within the developed lands and does not add any additional open space within the developed lands. So Mr. Burton does not feel it should be counted towards the project's density. 8, Mr. Burton does not feel that the items set forth in section 99-9C of the subdivision ordinance have been favorably addressed. For example, the subdivision is not integrated into the existing terrain and surrounding landscape and will adversely affect natural areas while causing significant tree vegetation and soil removal. If the subdivision were approved, it would require extensive grading for new roads, the large community septic system, grading for the proposed large stormwater management areas, with even more impervious areas caused by the home streets, amenities, driveways, etc. Also, it will require the removal of forested areas and the relocation of a tributary to the Broadkill River. The project does not promote the preservation of open space. The preservation of open space is offset by the developer's goal of obtaining the maximum possible density. The project will adversely affect area roadways and does not provide for safe vehicular and pedestrian movement within the site and along adjacent roads. There will be many cars per day added to the roadways in and around the project. Also, state roads in the area, including those within the proposed subdivision, are classified as local roads of minimal width that are frequently used by large pieces of farm equipment. Also, it is located along a dangerous curve on Hummingbird Road. The project does not preserve and conserve farmland. Instead, it eliminates a large area of farmland that has been classified as high-value cropland in an area where the state has spent a great deal of money to preserve farmland. And lastly, the project is not compatible with other area land uses, which are primarily agriculture, as stated above. The proposed density is also inconsistent with other developments in the area. There was a motion and a second and carried unanimously to deny.
Mr. Is there any of those?